turn in your Bibles to the 1 John, the letter of 1 John. I'm going to look at a few verses here in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 to 6. So 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 to 6. If you don't have a Bible with you, there's one in the pew there. You can pick it out there and you can turn to page 1218, and there you will find 1 John, the letter of John. So 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 to 6. And the Word of God says, "By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, 'I have come to know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked." Amen. So, last Sunday was Super Bowl Sunday. And yes, my beloved Rams lost again. The last time they were in the Super Bowl was 2002. They lost again to the New England Patriots, the same team. And back in 2002, after that loss, I received an email from a very close Christian brother of mine. And I'll never forget this email. After he had offered his condolences at the loss, he added this in the email: "But aren't you glad, Pastor, that we are all Lamb fans?" Aren't you glad that we are all Lamb fans? And of course, he's referring to the fact that when John the Baptist identified Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And my friend was so right. The bottom line is, as Christians, we are all Lamb fans, regardless of whether our team wins a football game or not. But I've thought over the years about that phrase of being Lamb fans. And I've concluded that it's not completely accurate. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are much more than just fans, aren't we? In truth, we are followers of Jesus Christ, not just fans of Jesus Christ. There have been many people throughout history who have been fans of Jesus. Napoleon was a fan. Gandhi was a great fan of Jesus. Many leaders have been fans of Jesus. He's a great moral teacher. He's a great leader. He's a great example to be a fan of. But as Christians, we understand that our connection to Jesus is much more than that. Not only are we connected to him as our God and our Savior, we're not just connected to him, we're committed to him as the only person we believe truly worthy of our following. We are not fans, we are followers of the Lamb of God. We continue our series today on discipleship. We're looking at moving toward maturity by becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And I want to camp this morning on this idea of being a follower of Jesus. I want to look at the character of a disciple as someone who follows Jesus in walking in the same manner as he walked here in verse 6 of 1 John chapter 2. The Apostle Paul has the same idea in Colossians 2:6 when he says, "As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." I want to look today at walking with Jesus as his followers, and there's four parts that I want to talk about here in walking with Jesus as his followers. And the Apostle John knew what that looked like because he was a follower of Jesus. I remember when John writes the letter of 1 John, he's writing near the end of his life. It's about 90 AD. And he's writing to Christians who are under attack They are dealing with an early form of something called Gnosticism. Gnosticism comes from the Greek word Gnostic, and it's the idea of knowledge. It means knowledge. And there was a heresy in the early church that focused on having great knowledge about God and Jesus, but they got the key doctrines of who Jesus is and deity as the Christ wrong. But the other thing they got wrong was they said if you just have enough knowledge, if you just learn enough things, that belief will get you to God. But what they did is they divorced belief from behavior. They said ethics of how you live your life righteously doesn't really matter as long as you know the right things. And what John does is he brings this idea of right belief together with also right behavior to show our following Jesus. So he's telling them, don't follow this false teaching, but truly follow Jesus as he is laid out in the scriptures. Which leads to these four parts I want to talk to you about today, about following Jesus. There are four parts. The first is the key principle in following Jesus. What's the key principle in following Jesus, being a follower of Jesus? Now, before we answer that question, there's a familiar phrase here that John uses throughout this letter. You will see the phrase often, "By this we know." And he's playing off this idea of the Gnostics. He's playing off this idea of knowledge. And John wants to share with us how you can really know you are a true follower of Jesus. And again, the focus here is on verse 6. He says, "We know we are followers of Jesus as we walk in the same manner as he walked." And I'm going to unpack that in a minute. But before we get there, I want you to stop for a minute and think about what was a follower of Jesus like in the New Testament. And I want you to think about how those early followers began. For instance, John himself was actually a follower of John the Baptist first in John chapter 1. He and Andrew, Peter's brother, were actually following along with John the Baptist. And they hear John see Jesus and identifying him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And in John 1:37, it says that the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Now that word followed literally means to get on the same road with somebody, to literally join them on the road that they're traveling. So they literally end up following Jesus. And then Andrew will go and tell his brother Peter, "We have found the Messiah." He takes him to Jesus, which is a great picture of evangelism, by the way. He grabs his brother and says, "We found the Messiah," and they follow Jesus. Now, later on, Jesus meets up with a guy named Philip in John chapter 1. He's of the same city as Peter. And what does Jesus say to him? He simply says, "Follow me. Get on the same road with me." Then Philip finds Nathanael, and he also follows Jesus. Now, that following is not a total commitment yet, because later on in chapter 4 of Matthew, Jesus meets up with these guys again up in Galilee. Peter and Andrew are casting their nets into the Sea of Galilee. And once again, Jesus says to them, "Quickly, follow me." And then in chapter 4, verse 20, it says they immediately left their nets and they followed Jesus. Then he goes down the road a little farther on the seashore. He finds John and his brother James. He calls them, presumably with the same phrase, "Follow me." And then later on in Luke chapter 5, there's another calling to them. He says, "Come, follow me." And it says they left everything and followed him. You see the pattern here, follow me, follow me, follow me. And then finally in Mark chapter 12, he actually names his disciples, his inner circle. And in Mark chapter 3, verse 14, here's a key phrase. It says he appointed these 12 to follow him and also that they might be with him. That they might be with him. And so we learn from putting all that together that a follower of Jesus is joining themselves on the road with Jesus. And so here's the key principle. A disciple or follower of Jesus is one who is in relationship with Jesus. It is someone who is in relationship with Jesus. Remember, the word disciple means a learner, a pupil, or a student. But it's possible that you can have a student and pupil relationship, or student and teacher relationship, But it's not really a close relationship. You can have someone disseminating information to you, telling you about a subject, but they're not really in relationship with you. The best teachers you've ever had are those who said, let me not just give it to you from on high, but let me share with you in relationship. And so here's the point. The principle of being a follower of Jesus is always built upon a relationship with Jesus. That's why we talk about a personal relationship with Jesus, because it's a personal relationship, because it begins when you accept Christ as your Savior, and the rest of your life is built upon that relationship with Jesus. It's not just taking in knowledge. It's not just learning facts. It's not just information about Jesus. It's being with Jesus. As we've said earlier, it's not following a philosophy. It's not following a religion. It's not following a set of rules or rituals, is it? The Christian life is a living relationship with the living Jesus Christ. You and I call ourselves disciples of Jesus because we are in relationship with Jesus. That's why Paul loves the phrase, Christ in you. I'm not on the outside looking in, but I have Jesus in me. We have the Holy Spirit in us, as we talked about last week. Now notice how John puts it. I haven't forgotten the text here. So verse 6, notice how John says it. He says, the one who says he abides in Jesus, or abides in him. Abide is one of John's favorite words. It occurs in his gospel 40 times and in his letters 27 times. The word abide. It means remain or to live. And so John is emphasizing that relationship. Christ is in you. You are in Christ. You're not just looking at the person of Jesus to walk in the manner he walked, but you are living with Jesus. Jesus is in you. You are in him in a relationship that integrates his work, his will, his attitudes, and his actions into your life. You are literally joined with Christ in order to follow Jesus. So when Jesus says, follow me, this is important. He is not just saying, follow the rules, follow the moral teaching, or even follow the commandments in and of themselves. What he's saying is, join me on the journey. Join with me as I live in you. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. It's because of my relationship with Jesus that I can live in following Jesus. Did you get that idea? It's relationship first. Then the second part of following Jesus is not only that relationship, but the power it brings. The power to follow. The power to follow, again, is Christ in us. Without the power of Christ in us, we could not walk as Jesus walks. Jesus said in John 15:4, abide, there's that word again, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. Last time I looked up that word in the Greek, it means nothing. You can't do anything apart from Jesus. And so we must have the power of Christ abiding in us through the Holy Spirit in order to be able to live as a Christian. And then there's the third part of following Jesus. The third part is the pattern to follow is the person of Jesus. The pattern to follow is the person of Jesus. This is the idea of imitating Christ. Now, John in verse 6 says that this is walking in the same manner as he walked, or literally, even as he walked, you should walk. Now, the Bible uses the word walk a lot as a metaphor of living or to have life, to live literally in the way as Jesus lived. The word walk here literally means to tread all around something. I think about our Australian friends who talk about a walkabout. That's the idea here. You're walking about in life following Jesus. You're looking to him and you're walking as he lived. Now, this is why I harped on the idea of a follower being in a relationship first. If you start with imitation first, say, I'll just look at Jesus, I'll read about Jesus, and I'll do what he did, you will end up with legalism. Or if you just simply say, I'll just imitate him without really having a relationship with him, I'll just do a bunch of lists of do's and don'ts. The problem is you can't do and you don't more than you do. Right? Or if you say, I'm going to just imitate Jesus without relationship, you make the grievous error of thinking I will become a Christian by imitating Christ. That can't happen. We do not become a Christian by imitating Christ outside of that relationship. We follow his example only after we've come into God's family through faith in Christ. One author said, this is the incarnational Christ in you. This is the way that you live your Christian life, because you know you're in relationship and then you imitate Christ. And once you're in relationship, you can walk in the same manner as he walked, which in essence means to reflect and reproduce Christ-like behavior. To reflect and reproduce Christ-like behavior. That's what it means to walk as Jesus walked. Now, the key here, understanding, is that does not mean we will do that perfectly. It's not perfection. It's progress, right? It's not perfection, but progress. As one well-known pastor said, believers' obedience will not be perfect as Jesus's was. Nonetheless, he established the perfect pattern we are to follow. The way I put it is, we strive, but we do not arrive until heaven. But we still strive in the grace of Christ. So the idea here is we're following the pattern of Jesus' life. That's what we're called to do, to walk like Jesus. You remember several years ago, maybe actually many years ago now, that people got the bracelets that had the letters on, you know, WWJD. Remember those bracelets? WWJD, which stood for What Would Jesus Do? And it was a great reminder to wear on your wrist to say, in that circumstance, what would Jesus do? But I think a better bracelet would say WDJD. WDJD, which stands for What Did Jesus Do? Because he's already laid out for us what he did in his life, the pattern to follow. But what does it mean to follow the pattern of Jesus' life? Well, John says here it includes following his commandments. It includes obedience. In verses 3 through 5, now remember, he's dealing with these Gnostics who are saying you don't have to behave properly to follow Jesus. And so in that, he says, you still need to follow his commandments. Listen to what Jesus said in John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. In John 15:14, he said, you are my friends if you do what I command you. In Luke 6:46, Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? So Jesus says, you know, my commandments are out there. After you have a relationship with me, this is what you're supposed to follow. And there are many other things that Jesus told us that we should do as his commandments in order to follow and imitate him. One is clearly to love other people, to love others. Listen to what Jesus said in John 13. A new commandment, notice, I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. In John 15:12, Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. So a critical component of walking as Jesus walked is to love other people. Ephesians 5:2 says, walk in love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. To love other people means to have compassion for the hurting around you, the lost, and the lonely. The Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion. My favorite definition of compassion is your pain in my heart. Your pain in my heart. Jesus went around with that sense of compassion. It's the idea of showing practical goodness and kindness to those in need around you. Later on in 1 John 3, he says, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, he says, let us not just love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. The idea here is not just speaking love to people, but living love, showing love. This week, in case you forgot, is Valentine's Day, right? And to your spouse, you would like to go beyond just saying, I love you, to actually show that love. Remember the old song, don't talk of love? What? Show me. Don't just talk about it. Show me. It's not just saying it. I remember reminded of the story of an old, dour Swedish man. They've been married 50 years, he and his wife, and they went to marriage counseling, of all things. And they get to the counselor, and the wife says to the counselor, he never tells me he loves me. And the old, dour Swedish man said, well, I told you I loved you when we got married, and I haven't changed my mind. Ouch. That's not going to cut it, is it? It's not just saying it, it's living a life of love. The pattern of Jesus is also to seek to live righteous lives in conduct and speech and righteousness. It's to submit to the will of God the Father, as Jesus said, not my will be done, but your will be done. That's part of walking in the steps of Jesus. It's following the pattern of not retaliating when you are wronged. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter says that we've been called for this purpose since Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example to follow in his steps. He committed no sin. No deceit was found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously. Jesus did not retaliate as he could have. But instead, he says, I will show love and mercy and grace to the people. And so he did not retaliate. That's the pattern of Jesus. It is also to forgive. I love Ephesians 4:32, although it's very convicting. Paul says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as Christ also has forgiven you. That's the standard. You cannot say, I cannot forgive you because Christ has forgiven us. The pattern is to not judge others outside of God's righteous and just set our standards up. It's to walk in serving others. The Bible says the Son of Man, Jesus, came to give his life a ransom, but to serve us. Jesus washed the disciples' feet and he said, I gave you an example, a pattern to follow in serving others. And the list goes on and on and on. These are the attitudes and actions to imitate in Jesus. And again, I emphasize to you what John says here. The order is important here. At the end of verse 5, he says, by this we know, again, we are in him, that we are his followers. And then again, he says, the one who says he abides in him, the one who says he's in relationship, then he says, walk in the same manner as he walked. Out of our salvation, out of grace, out of the power of Christ in us, then we follow him. It is out of his salvation that we keep his commandments. It is not for our salvation. It's out of the gift of his grace, as Kurt said. Following Jesus is to follow the pattern in the person of Christ, to imitate him out of relationship. And then the final part of following Jesus is the plan of following him. There's a plan, I believe, that we should have to follow Jesus. In other words, asking ourselves, how do I move forward? How do I grow forward to follow Jesus and be devoted to him? I think there's three things involved. The first part of the plan is to grow in the knowledge of the one you follow. Get to know the one you follow. Grow in the knowledge of the one we follow. Paul says in Colossians 1:9, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, have not ceased to pray for you and ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that You will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Fill your mind with the knowledge of Jesus so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So getting to know him in knowledge is important. Peter says in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We do that through Scripture. We do that through other means we're going to talk about in the weeks ahead. But we grow as we get that knowledge of Christ and live in Christ to know what to do. The second part of the plan is stay close to your Christ. Stay close to your Christ. Here's a principle of life, and you probably concluded this already, that error increases with distance, doesn't it? Error increases with distance. I think about sports. When I played basketball, believe me, my error increased the farther I got away from the basket. It wasn't so great near the basket either, but farther away, I got pretty bad, okay? Or how about the game of golf? You know, if you're a foot away from the cup, great. Good shot. But if you're, 100 yards, not so great. Or how about bowling? I've decided that if I could be a world-class bowler if I could stand 2 feet from the pins. If you just put me right close there, I'm going to be awesome. But error increases with distance. How about raising kids? If you never spend time with them, or with your spouse, or with relationships, error increases with that distance. And when you and I are distant from Jesus, error increases. When we're not close to our Lord, we're less than we should be in walking with Jesus. Doesn't mean Jesus isn't in our lives, but it means that we're not getting the influence close up and personal that we can have. If we have benign neglect in our faith, if we're walking away in sin, that increases our errors. And so we need to get back close to Jesus, to spend time with him in prayer, to be in his word, listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, being in worship together, being in community together in small groups of encouraging one another in the faith. All of that increases your chances of walking close with Jesus. Errors in our walk occur when we are distant from our teacher. So stay close to Jesus. And the final part of our plan in following Jesus, and I love this, is remember class is always in session. Have you noticed that with Jesus? Class is always in session. As a learner and a follower of Jesus, you can be assured God is committing to making us more like his son, Jesus. And so every action and attitude and everything that's going on in your life, I believe, is God's way of molding and shaping us and trying to push us toward being closer to Christ. Your day in and day out walk with Jesus, he's showing you how you can walk better, how you can learn more, how you can grow forward in your faith. Class, by God's grace, is always in session. As Christians, we are all Lamb fans. But more than that, we are followers of the Lamb of God. We have been given a living relationship. If you know Christ as your Savior, you've been given this relationship that will move you toward maturity and becoming a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. And when God moves you in that direction, and when God is prompting you, God is calling you to walk about in a living relationship with Jesus, and by his grace, to walk in the same manner that he walked. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for the great calling of God that we are able to walk with Jesus on that road. But not just that, Lord, that he walks in us on that road, that we have been given that wonderful relationship with Christ that changes everything. Lord, when we run in that direction, we may stumble and fall, but at least we're running in the right direction. So God, I pray for grace in our hearts today to just remember that you forgive us when we fail. You give grace to keep us going. And Lord, that you've given us this great example of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, may we walk in the knowledge of him. And may we walk in faithfulness today. And may you continue to convict our hearts and souls so that we are truly followers and not just fans of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.